Break what they love. The sun shone bright on the gatehouse roof, but Ricker felt an edge on the wind as Black Calder's army spread out around the walls of Carlion. Most likely anyone feels a bit of a chill, though, watching thousands of men get ready to kill you.
So here they are, she murmured, lowering her eyeglass. Looks like they've had a muddy old time on the way. State of these bastards.
Shivers slowly nodded.
But the number of them, too.
He'd made quite an effort for the battle, with his mail gleaming and his war horn at his belt, his grey hair bound back neat as a bride's, and his shield fresh painted red with the sign of the long eye, the black boss its yawning pupil.
Aye.
Ricker fumbled for a joke, but couldn't find one in easy reach, especially with her stomach trying to climb up out of her mouth and make a run for it. More men and more kept spilling over the hills to the north, through the shadows crawling across the land from the fast-moving clouds above, forming slovenly lines in the fields around the city, where the last patches of snow clung pale and dirty in the hollows. No doubt there were a lot of the bastards, as many as Black Calder had brought to the Battle of Red Hill, maybe. A lot more than Ricker had been hoping for. Her own men looked sparse on the walkways atop Carlion's walls, nervous and lonely. Carls of Ufrith who'd served her father, far from home, and with a leader who looked shakier every day. Ricker had even less faith in her judgment than they did. She'd seen things up in the hills when the witch tattooed the runes around her eye, splinters and fragments, enough to take a guess at what was coming, but nowhere near enough to be sure.
They've got Ladis, said Corlith, hair whipping about her clenched jaw, standard of the long eye whipping above her. Lot of Ladis, said Shivers.
Lot of everything, said Ricker. Let's hope they don't have cannons.
She barked a laugh, but nearly puked on it, had to awkwardly swallow an acrid little tickle in her throat.
They don't have cannons, do they? What are those wagons?
She squinted through her eyeglass.
Are those bones?
That'll be Stand of the Barrows. Those boys from past the Crinner always had some funny notions. Stranger come knocking was wild for plumbing, as I recall.
Well, who wants to die at the hands of a man with no hobbies?
Ricker took a hard, cold breath and blew it out. One way or another, it'd get finished today. The scores that began when Scale Ironhand invaded the Protectorate all those months ago. Scores way older than that, even. When her father told Black Calder he'd cut the bloody cross in him at the Battle of Osrung. When Black Calder killed Fawley the Weakest years before. When her father and the Bloody Nine fought for Bethod, and then against him, all across the north and back, and left a trail of corpses both ways. One feud growing from another, blood flowing from blood, all settled today. Or maybe it was folly to think so. Maybe it had just been new feud started.
I'm excited, called Ricker,
stretching up on tiptoes and forcing out a grin like she knew just what was coming, even if she was bubbling over with doubts. She clapped Corlith on the shoulder. She liked doing it. Her shoulders had a meaty, reassuring feel.
You excited?
Corlith swallowed.
Honestly, I'm shitting myself. Two ways of saying the same thing.
Ricker rubbed at her belly, tried to kick the aches out of her legs.
By the dead, that's sore. You all right? Just the moon pains. Blood came last night.
Huh? Me too.
Fancy that. Our wombs have found a rhythm. Same thing happened with Isern.
And Ricker gave a wistful sigh.
Reckon it's time to get Stour out of his cage.
Aye,
said Corlith, and she trotted to the steps. Shivers was frowning out into the fields, sunlight glinting on his metal eye as the clouds shifted.
Doubt that'll be the only blood that comes today, he said.
Calder stood, hands on hips, glaring towards Carlion. The city he'd ruled the North from for 20 years. Had to hurt, having it stolen by a girl with a magic eye. Had to hurt, having to beg for the life of his only son. But then, you reach a certain age, everything hurts.
Glover, he grunted. I want you next to me. Course, Chief. Though battlefields do give me a rash. We'll all have to tolerate some discomforts today. Got a horse for you.
Grand, said Clover with heavy sarcasm. He'd owned a horse once, long time ago, but only because it was the type of thing folk expect a famous warrior to own. Didn't think he'd ever ridden it. Except once when he bought it, pretending he wasn't scared witless he'd fall off, and only because it was the type of thing folk expect someone to do when buying a horse. Rest of the time it just stood in a stable, looking sad, eating his hay and costing him money. Strange how much of his time he'd spent worrying about what people expect. You'd have thought the one upside of being a famous warrior was doing whatever you pleased.
We should attack, said Stander the Barrows, sitting in his bone-covered armour on his bone-covered horse. Attack, attack, sweep over them, a black wave, drive them into nothingness, into hell.
That was pretty much the full range of his strategy.
Let's not faff with the talk before. The talk before is always lies and boasting. Waste of your time, waste of my time. Someday I will die. I wish to gather as many bones as I can first. They say the cities of the south go on forever, people flooding through them like rivers. And all those people are full of bones, every one of them.
He gave a dreamy smile.
I wish to visit those places.
You have my son, said Calder, still glaring at the city. Once I have him, you can have Carlion and all the bones inside.
Stander the Barrows smiled wider.
That is acceptable.
Clover glanced over at Scholler and found her staring back, unable to hide her horror.
You stay here with Flick, he muttered. Chief, I stay here, he said, looking her in the eye.
Don't worry, said Downside. I'll look after him.
What a comfort.
Clover clambered up onto the horse he was borrowing. He found he liked it even less than he remembered. You forget how bloody high horses are, and it turned all the way around while he was leaning down to grab the reins. Black Calder was having his own troubles getting mounted. He had to bounce a couple of times before he could haul himself into the saddle. He looked weak when he got there, and grey and grim. Not much left of the handsome joker who nicked the North from under everyone's noses. A man who'd lasted past his time. A man dragged back for one fight too many. But then, one is one too many. Clover had a low feeling as he rode out towards Carlion. As he frowned to the left, towards the great mass of crinner bastards working themselves up for the bone harvest. As he frowned to the right, watching Calder's carles bring their many-coloured shield wall forward across the sun-splashed fields. As he frowned straight ahead, towards the black battlements above the city's gate. A feeling this had all end badly. But then, if you leave it long enough, what doesn't end badly? Ricker took a deep breath. By the dead, she needed to piss. She'd gone not long ago, but now she felt like she was bursting. Wouldn't look too clever, that fearsome witch with the long eye pissing herself on the battlements in full view of her two worst enemies and a hostile army. Still, Hadar had always said he near pissed himself in every fight. Hadn't stopped him winning most of his.
Here we go, then.
And she twisted her face into that knowing smile and swaggered up to the parapet. The very spot where the Bloody Nine killed Bethod. Might be the stones she propped her hands on were the ones the first King of the Northmen got his brain smashed out on. She hoped the significance wasn't lost on anyone as she leaned over, grinning down at the 24 riders before the gates. Calder's sign was there, red circle on black, and other famous standards too. She spotted Jonas Clover loitering near the back. He looked troubled, and Ricker hardly blamed him. He was in some troubling company. No missing the bastards from beyond the crinner. They were the ones with the paint and the bones. One in particular, grey-haired, grey-faced, grey eyes fixed on her, covered with bones head to toe, his helmet with the skull of some great horned animal on it. And in front of him, on a black horse, a lean man with a sharp face and a fine black fur about his shoulders.
"Black Calder," she called. "Welcome back to Carleon."
His mount was restless, and he reined it savagely around, keeping his frown fixed on her all the while.
"Ricker of the Long Eye,"
she tapped at her face.
"The only one I've got. Who's your clown?"
"Clown?
The joker with all the bones."
"I am Standy the Barrows Girl, chieftain of 100 tribes, lord of all the fen country from the crinner to the sea, master of 10,000 spears. I am here to gather bones for my great barrow. Bones of man and woman, wolf and hawk. Bones of girl and boy, lamb and foal. Perhaps I will see how many bones I can cut from your body while you still live. It is a favoured pastime of mine."
There was a silence, a cold wind blowing up, shaking the budding trees in the distance and sighing across the walls of Carleon. Ricker stuck her little finger in her ear, twisted it, pulled it out, examined the results, and flicked them away.
"Not very funny, is he?" she said.
"I'm funnier," said Shivers.
"You're funny, 'cause no one expects laughs from a man with a metal eye, though."
She waved down at Standy the Barrows.
"If you're going to wear the motley, you'd better be ready for fun. But let's not drag this out. I've got my monthly bleed on and could do with changing my cloth. If gore's your thing, I can toss you down the old one."
Standy the Barrows curled back his lips to spit some answer, but Calder got in first.
"Our mutual friend, Jonas Clover."
"I'm not sure Jonas Clover's anyone's friend but his own," said Ricker.
The man in question gave a sheepish grin.
"Just trying to get through the day is all."
"He tells me you're willing to make a trade," called Calder. "My son for half the north. That true?"
"Could be."
Ricker leaned on the parapet, arms crossed, hands flopping, necklace dangling, and cast an eye over all those men spreading out around Carleon.
"But you brought an awful lot of friends through an awful lot of mud, just so we could strike a bargain."
"My father always said, speak by all means, but the words of an armed man ring that much sweeter. Thought I'd make my words ring as sweetly as I could."
"They do say you were known for charming the ladies once. Bring the great wolf where his da can see him."
Shivers had Stour under one arm, holding him up and dragging him forwards at once, his hands tied behind him and his bare feet scuffing uselessly. He'd lost half his weight and all his pride, lips cracked, eyes sunken, squinting up at the sun like he'd never seen it before. Hadn't been out of that cage in Scarling's Hall for months, so the sky was coming as quite the shock to him.
"Here he is,"
called Ricker, as Shivers hauled Stour up to the parapet where the whole valley could get a good look.
"The grandson of Bethod, the bane of Scale Ironhand, the king of the Northmen in all his glory, Stour Nightfall."
And she thrust out an arm towards the ill-smelling cripple who was once the terror of the North. There was a pause while those below took in the state of him and wondered if it could truly be the same man. Seemed like there might be some damp glinting in Calder's eyes, but maybe it was the wind.
"You all right, son?"
he croaked out,
I cut my legs! And there was a tearful whine in Stour's voice that made Ricker think of a child complaining over getting the smallest slice of cake. I cut my legs! She felt, of all things, a scratch of guilt, and had to remind herself of all the scores she had against him.
Well, he said he'd see me fucked by pigs, called Ricker. Break what they love, he said. I reckon he's got off lightly.
Even at this distance, she could see Calder grinding his teeth.
Carleon's yours, he growled. Now cut him free and send him down.
Well, I've got no more use for him. Ricker snapped her fingers at Shivers. Dare say you've a knife, don't you?
You can never have too many.
He pulled one out, the work-polished handle towards her. Not a big one, but a small blade can do the job more often than not.
Sure you don't want me to do it?
He asked in that husky whisper. Ricker had seen this moment, knew how it'd go. What came after was the question. She gently shook her head. My father would have said, there are some things a leader has to do themselves.
Just one of you, get on and do it!
Snarled Stour over his shoulder, jerking his tied hands towards her.
Patience, Great Wolf!
And she plucked the knife from Shiver's hand. She'd seen this come, knew it had to come, but even so it wasn't easy. Had to make of her heart a stone, like Isern always told her. Even if her mouth was dry as dust and there was chill sweat on her back and the knife weighed like an anvil. She reached out and took one of Stour's wrists and carefully sawed through the ropes that bound him. He grinned a twisted grin.
Been waiting for this a while.
She forced herself to grin back.
Oh, me too.
And she stabbed him in the throat. The blade hardly made a sound as it punched into the crosspiece where his neck met his shoulder and straight out again, along with a spurt of blood that soaked her hand. Shocked her how hot it was. He flinched first with a little gasp like he'd been bee-stung. He stared at her, wet eyes wide, slack face all red-speckled from the bubbling wound.
Breath,
he said, drooling blood down his dirty shirt. Ricker looked up at Shivers, and her hand was shaking, but her voice was steady.
Send him down, then.
Right, yeah.
And Shivers took one step and shoved the great wolf over the parapet. Clover had been there when the Bloody Nine fought the Feared, before he won the name Steepfield, even. Long before he lost it, he'd held a shield at the duel. He'd watched Bethod flung from the walls. Now he watched Bethod's grandson flung from about the same place and crashed down in about the same place, crumpled in the wet grass where the circle had been marked out that day. Blood spattered Stander the Barrow's horse, but it hardly even twitched, probably good and used to flying gore. Stour lay with his arms spread wide as if greeting his father, but with his head twisted all the way around, his ruined legs buckled under him, and his blood spilling black into the green grass. Till a few moments ago, he'd been the future of the North. Now he was mud. A stern lesson for anyone harbouring high ambitions. Calder stared down, mouth hanging open, then up at the gatehouse, where Ricker and Shivers were black figures against the bright sky.
Kill them! He screamed, face twisting. Kill them all!
If anyone had asked him, Clover would have said there was less than no chance this would be settled with talk, but you never realize how much hope you're holding till it gets knifed and thrown off a roof.
See you soon!
Ricker shrieked after them, stabbing at the sky with her bloody dagger. So maybe she wasn't clever and had seen nothing with her long eye at all, but was just the maddest of the whole crowd, and had doomed herself and everyone who followed her. Probably Clover, too, who'd done nothing but try to steer a safe course through a tempest of other men's making. He'd had trouble controlling his horse at a walk, at a bone-rattling gallop away from the walls in the midst of a couple of dozen other barging, scraping, eye-rolling beasts. He was helpless. He barely clung on, gripping with his aching legs, reins flapping everywhere. There were arrows falling around them, flickering down into the grass. His shoulders were itching, sure he was about to get a shaft right in the back. One of Stand of the Barrow's savages did. Long hair tangled around his painted face as he toppled screaming from his horse. There's the big problem with bones as armour. They don't bloody work. Clover had never been more grateful to reach a tree line in his life, managed to slow his horse by dragging on the reins, then nearly set it trotting back towards the walls, probably would have if Scholler hadn't grabbed the bridle. He slithered from the saddle and stood there with his hands on his trembling knees, just breathing.
"You all right?" Scholler asked him. "By the dead!" he croaked, holding on to her arm as he straightened up, still felt dizzy. "I think I nearly shit myself."
"What the hell happened?"
"What happened is..."
Clover narrowed his eyes towards the walls of Carlion, like a man wincing into a storm.
"I was hoping I'd never have to fight in another battle."
Black Calder's men had started forwards, not the most eager of charges, after all the shit they'd waded through to get here, but they'd started forwards even so. Clover gave a sigh right from his guts.
"But there's hopes for you."